Well, we're in Luke chapter 2 this morning, and I want to encourage you to take something to write on and something to write with and to follow along and to write down the things that the Lord impresses upon you to write down. Let me begin by asking one simple question. Do you ever ask the question, what if? Like, what if this happens, or what if this happened, or what if historical events that have taken place wouldn't have taken place? I mean, what if things were completely different? What if Saddam Hussein or Hitler would have never been eliminated? You ever think about that? What if the internet would have never been invented? What if Philip Fulmer was never fired the first time, right? Still too soon, all right. I mean, there are a lot of what ifs that we can ask in life. And when you consider reality and you ask the question, what if, and you wonder how things might have turned out, it gets a little bit interesting, but it also gets a little bit scary because reality would look a lot different if some of the what ifs would have taken place. I thought about that this week as we were spending time with Audra's family. I thought, you know, what if my parents would have never moved to Odessa, Texas when I was 12 years old? What if that would have been the reality? Let me tell you, my whole life would look different. I would have never met her. We would have never started dating when we were 16 years old. We would have never gone to college together. We would have never gotten married. We wouldn't have our two kids. We most likely wouldn't even be here, obviously. I mean, that's a scary what if in my life, and I'm sure you can think about some certain what ifs in your own life that are a little bit scary. But let me tell you about another scary what if. Let me ask it this way. What if Christmas never happened? What if Jesus never came to planet Earth? Well, what if he didn't live a perfect life? What if he wouldn't have gone to the cross? What if he wouldn't have risen from the grave on the third day? What if that were true? I'll tell you what, that's a pretty scary thing to consider. Because the entire reality of everything we know would be completely different. It's scary to think about because if that were true, you and I would both be prisoners of our sin in this very moment. If that were true, then we would have absolutely no hope today. We would have no purpose today. We would live with absolutely no courage. We would have no solution to our greatest problem called sin. If Christmas never came, we would all be destined to a reality and a real place called hell. But thanks be to God, Christmas came. Amen? Listen, the reason you can say amen to that today is because of Christmas. It's because of Jesus. Jesus did, in fact, come to planet Earth. He lived a perfect life. He died a brutal death so that you didn't have to. He rose from the grave on the third day. That is the reality. And because of that, everything has changed. Because of Christmas, my life has completely been transformed. And my prayer is that you could say the same. And the Bible tells us in the Christmas story that because of Jesus, because of Christmas, check it out, we don't have to be afraid. Have you ever been afraid? The Bible says because of this story that we read every single year, then we don't have to live in fear. But you know what I find interesting here in Luke chapter 2? When you read the Christmas story, the very first reaction, the very first response, the very first emotion that we encounter in this passage is the emotion of fear. In verse 8, it says, in the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So you've got angel appearing to shepherds in the middle of a dark field, in the middle of the night. And the Bible says the result of that appearance, it led them to be terrified. Have you ever asked the question, why, God? Like, why did you choose to deliver this very first baby announcement from an angel to shepherds as they're watching over sheep in the middle of the night? Like, why is that a part of God's plan? Well, first of all, I want to point out that these were no ordinary shepherds. You know, a lot of times we'll read this and we're like, they're just shepherds, they're just sheep. But the fact of the matter was, these were very important men that were chosen for this job. And these were very important sheep. In fact, when you do a little bit of digging, you're going to find out that these were the sheep that were going to be the sacrificial lambs that were going to be used in the Passover. These were the purest of sheep. They were very important sheep. They were untainted, unblemished, perfectly white. When you would consider all the sheep in the world, these were the top, the cream of the crop. And these men were chosen, a very high calling in that day, to watch over these sheep because they were the ones used in Passover. They were the ones that they were chosen to protect both day and night. They were kept in a field right on the outskirts of Jerusalem so that they were easily accessible, and it wouldn't take very long, and they wouldn't have to travel very far, because they believe if they had to travel very far, then they wouldn't be unblemished. They could become dirty and filthy, and no dirt was allowed in the Passover festival. And so that's what these men were doing. They were watching over these important sheep both day and night. And so when you consider that context and you really consider what was happening here, it's almost as if the angel appeared to these shepherds with a message that said, hey, I want you to look around at all the sheep that you're watching over right now. And understand that these are important sheep. These are pure sheep. They're unblemished and they're nearly perfect. But I want you to understand that not even these lambs surrounding you right now are a sufficient sacrifice to please God. It's going to take something more than that. And it's as if the angel's saying, the real Lamb of God, the real true substitutionary Lamb of God, the substitutionary sacrificial Lamb of God was just born in Bethlehem, and you can meet him. The angel's appearance to these shepherds, it wasn't a coincidence. Don't ever read the story and think, well, this is just, it just happened to be like this. Like the angel appeared and there's some shepherds standing there. It was a very intentional encounter. The angel appeared to lowly men as they watched over sheep in the middle of the night. You get it? Listen, Christ came for the lowly. Christ functions as the chief shepherd. Christ is called the Lamb of God. He was the sacrifice that was worthy once and for all. This was no coincidence at all. But the Bible says that when the angel appeared to the shepherds, their immediate response was to be terrified. So why were they terrified? Well, it could have something to do with they're in the middle of a dark field watching over sheep, and all of a sudden a glowing angel appears out of nowhere, right? That has something to do with it. I would imagine that that'd be kind of terrifying. Has anything like that ever happened to you? Where you're just experiencing like a normal, and something automatically or quickly breaks up your normal? Have you ever had your circumstance changed in an instant, and now all of a sudden everything is different? Listen, your immediate response is to be terrified. Say, recently, my family and I, we experienced something that led us all to be terrified. And it was in the middle of something completely normal. It was in an elevator. How many of you have ridden an elevator, right? 100% of us. We've ridden elevators. I've ridden hundreds, if not thousands of them. And here's what they do. They go up, they go down, the doors open, the doors close. It's a great way to avoid stairs. And so we're riding a normal elevator in a normal hotel that will remain unmentioned, but we're riding an elevator and the doors close and we go from the ground floor to our room. But on the way to the room, the normal elevator ride becomes very abnormal because the entire elevator begins to violently shake. I'm not talking about a little shaking. I'm saying that the shaking was so violent that the mirrors in the elevator shattered. And then in an instant, a violently shaking elevator has a free fall. Now it falls only one floor, but when it falls, we hear something snap, something break. Turns out, after this whole thing was investigated, that the cable actually broke on the elevator. And so we experience a free fall before the emergency cable grabs the elevator. In that moment, the elevator begins filling with smoke. And as the smoke is filling the cavity, I'm pressing the emergency button. When I press the emergency button, the doors open up and I'm chunking kids out of the elevator by this point, right? I'm like, you're out and you're out and everybody's out of the elevator. I dive out of the elevator, the doors close, And then it experiences another free fall, two more flights, and we hear a violent crash and see the smoke coming through the cracks. Now that sounds really dramatic, but you know what? It happened. And in that moment, a normal elevator ride turned into something that terrified me, terrified my family, and from now on, we're taking the stairs, amen? But I was thinking about that this week, because I'm reading this story, I'm thinking, you know what? They were just having a normal day at work. They're watching sheep in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, boom, it happened, and everything changed. It was a game changer for these shepherds. And in the same way I wasn't expecting to jump on a crashing elevator, these shepherds weren't expecting to encounter a glowing angel. We're naturally afraid when our circumstances change. We get a little bit scared when the silence is broken, when our normal is altered, when there's a change of plans or an unexpected interruption. We've all experienced the unexpected interruptions. And it's okay to admit that when our circumstances change, we naturally become afraid. In this story, the shepherds were just doing their job, watching sheep in the middle of the night, and an angel appears and says, and I quote, or the Bible says, and suddenly the angel stood before them. Can you imagine the shock? You turn around and there's an angel behind you. Did I mention the angel was glowing? Hello, glowing. Look at verse 9. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So you've got this picture in your mind, the angels in complete darkness. You can see the stars in the sky, and then in an instant, it goes from complete darkness to now they're 100% surrounded by light. You know what the light was? It was God's glory. They were standing in the presence of the Shekinah glory of Almighty God. You say, well, why would that be frightening to them? Well, think about it. You're interrupted in the middle of the night, and now you're standing in light. That's a terrifying thing. But when you go back to Isaiah chapter 6, here's what it's going to tell you. The presence of God's glory is something that reveals the sin to man. And so when you're in the presence of the glory of God, you will see your sin in ways that you've never seen it before. And so I believe that's another reason that they were terrified, not just because they were interrupted by an angel that's glowing in the middle of the night, but because for the first time in their life, they were spiritually exposed. And they understood their sin to be what their sin actually was. In verse 10, he says, but the angel said to them, don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that'll be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. You know, a lot of times we think that life interruptions are going to be negative. When you're a kid at school and you get a piece of paper that says you need to come to the principal's office, you automatically assume, I'm getting spanked right now, right? Not anymore, but back in the day, that was my story a lot, right? It's gonna happen. I'm about to get licks. Y'all remember the licks? Hello. So that's automatic. You automatically assume the worst when the principal wants to see you. Or now, I mean, if you get a text in the middle of the day that says, hey, before you go home, this is your boss, by the way. I want you to come by my office. You and I have something we need to talk about. I mean, that's not a message you want to get. You automatically start looking for the closest sturdy cardboard boxes, right? You think, man, I'm packing it up. I'm getting canned. That's the way that we naturally think. When our lives get interrupted, we naturally assume the worst. Life interruptions can be unsettling. And that was the same in the shepherd story as well. When the angel interrupted their normal, they assumed the worst. And the fear that resulted from that, check this out, the fear that resulted from that, it had to be a lot. It had to be overwhelming because look, the first thing out of the mouth of the angel was this, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news. So the angel said, time out, don't worry, don't be afraid. I'm not here to deliver bad news. In fact, I'm here to bring you good news of great joy that'll be not for some people, it's gonna be for all people. See, life interruptions can be unsettling, but at the same time, life interruptions can also be God opportunities. It could be God opportunities in your life. They were in this story. The angel appeared in the quietness of the night to deliver one message to these shepherds. And the message was, the Messiah has been born. The Savior has been born for you. He's saying, you can know the Savior of the world. And in fact, in these two short verses, he's going to deliver a 5-point sermon about these God opportunities. And if you're a note taker, I want you to jot them down real fast, okay? Here's what these five things are. Beginning in verse 10, he says, you do not have to fear. And that's for us today. He says, you do not have to fear. You can have joy. This interruption isn't meant to scare you. This interruption is meant to save you. That was the message. You do not have to fear. The second thing he tells us in verse 10 is that the good news is for everyone. It's for all of us. He's showing them it's for the Jews, it's for the Gentile. It's for the rich people and the poor people. It's for every single one of us. That was the message in verse 10. The third point he makes in verse 11, and that is a Savior has been born. You get it? This baby that was born came to save us. In fact, read verse 11. It says, today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you. Later on in that verse, he gives us the fourth point, and that is that the Savior is the Messiah. He's saying this Savior, the one I'm talking about, is the one that we've been waiting for all these years. He's the anointed one. He's the chosen one. This baby is the Son of the living God. And then he gives the fifth point in verse 12. And that is that the baby in the manger is a sign. You know the Christmas story. The wise men were guided by a star, but for the shepherds, the sign they were looking for was a baby in a manger. And because of that baby, because of Christmas, the Bible tells us we as children of God do not have to be afraid. Here's what Jesus said. In fact, Jesus changed the whole ball game when it came to fear. This is what he said in John 14. He said, peace is what I leave with you. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried and upset. Jesus says, do not be afraid. What Jesus just said is, the reason I came is so that you can live in peace. The reason I came is so that you don't have to live with that fear in your life. In fact, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of power and love and sound judgment. You know what that means? It means the fear that I experience in my life, that fear doesn't come from God. The fear that you live with in your life, the fear that you may harbor even today, listen to me, that does not come from God. That's not what God desires for you. That's not what God desires from you. He said, if there's fear in your life, I want you to know that that did not come from me. Some of you, if you're being honest, would say, I'm living in fear today. I'm fearing the worst. I'm living with anxiety. Can I just tell you something? God has a message for you today. And we find it in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. Here's what God says. Ready? Do not fear, for I am with you. Do you get that? Let's say that out loud. Just that part. You ready? Do not fear, for I am with you. Say it again. Do not fear, for I am with you. Let me read the rest of it. He says, do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold on to you with my righteous right hand. You say, why can we live with that kind of confidence today? Why can we live with absolutely no fear? Let me tell you why. Because of Jesus. That's the only reason. Because of Christmas. Because of the incarnation of Jesus Christ, you and I have the option of living without fear. In fact, if you're taking notes, get this, that do not fear is a command. It's not a suggestion. If you read the entire Bible from cover to cover, you're going to find that phrase, do not fear or do not be afraid, written 365 times. In other words, God gives us a do not fear for every single day of the year. We've got one. And when you look at all the do's and the don'ts in Scripture, what you'll discover is God uses this phrase and he gives us this command more than any other do's or don'ts in the entire Bible. So it's pretty clear to me that God does not want us to live in fear. But believe it or not, he gives you the option to do so. He gives you the option to choose fear instead of choosing faith. When the angel said, do not fear in this passage, he wasn't giving a suggestion. This is written as an imperative. It was a command. And the same is true for us today. God commands his kids not to fear. But because he does that, we have a choice to either obey his commands or to disobey his commands. Here's the thing. When you disobey his commands and you choose to live in that fear, let me show you why this is such a problem for God. Because in that moment, fear becomes the Lord of your life. See, God doesn't want us to live in fear because when we do so, we're choosing to give ourselves to something else that has the ability to control us when God says, no, 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 that's my job. I came to be your Savior. I came to be your Lord. And so I look at it this way. If I'm going to choose to live in fear, what I'm actually doing is saying, okay, instead of living in faith, I'm going to live in fear. You cannot do both at the same time. You have to choose one or the other. I'm either going to live in fear or live by faith. You cannot do the same at the same time. And so with that being said, in every single circumstances, I'm either going to be afraid and disobey God, or I'm going to trust God and I'm going to live by faith and obey him. You can't do one and not the other, or one and the other at the same time. So it all goes back to lordship. God wants us to be, he wants us to be submitted to him as the Lord of our life. God wants us to give him everything in this relationship between us and God. And when I say that God wants you to give everything, I'm saying he wants your mind, he wants your body, he wants your soul, he wants your heart, he wants your spirit, he wants your gifts, he wants your attention, he wants your affections. God wants all of it. And that's a huge problem that we see, especially in the South. There's a lot of people that ask Jesus to be the Savior, but never actually make him Lord. Guess what? That's not what God requires for salvation. He requires us to make him Lord, to hand over the control of everything that we possess, everything that we are, everything that we want to be, and to give him complete control. And if we've given God less than our best, less than 100%, we haven't done what he's asked us to do. So let's just consider this for a second. When we live by faith and not by fear, we obey God. When we obey God, we can rest in the results because we're being obedient to God, right? Right? When we live by faith, we obey God. When we obey God, we can live with the results because the results come from obedience to God. And when we do that, we can rest in his presence knowing that he is with us. When God is with us, he allows us to empty ourselves of fear. And when we empty ourselves of fear, it allows the Holy Spirit to fill us with courage. How do you live your life with courage? You ask the Lord to empty you of fear. That's exactly what we see in the life of these shepherds. Look at verse 13. It says, suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors. I love this passage because I imagine it almost like in a movie. If this were a movie scene, here's how it would be playing out so far. Imagine a dark field on the outskirts of town. You've got some sheep, you've got a shepherd or two, and they're all just standing around in the field in the darkness of the night. Then all of a sudden, an angel shows up, glowing, scares the boys to death. You got this picture in your mind? So that's what's happening. And the angel looks at him and says, no, 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 don't fear. I'm not here to bring you bad news. I'm bringing you good news of great joy. It's going to be for all the people. And as the angel continues to speak, you can see the fear slowly fading off of the faces of these shepherds. But then the camera would pan out And in this moment, it would go from focusing on one single angel to now, as it pans out to give a wide angle shot, there would be a multitude of angels that joined them in an instant. That word multitude really is unprecedented in the scripture. The next time you see that word multitude in describing a group of angels is at the very end of your Bible in Revelation chapter 5, as they're surrounding the throne. Here's what it says. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels. That word many is multitude of angels around the throne, and also of the living creatures and of the elders. Their number was countless thousands plus thousands of thousands. So you know what a multitude looks like? Do you know how many angels were there that day? A bunch of angels. That's all we know. We don't know exactly how many angels there were. We know there were a bunch of them. But one thing we do know for certain is what the angels were doing in that field. Because it tells us right here in verse 13 and 14, it tells us that they were praising God. When you look that word up, praising, in the original language, I found it fascinating that it's written with a continued action, which means that the angels were already praising God before they were revealed to the shepherds. The angels never stopped praising God. They were always they were praising God in heaven before they appeared in the field. When you look that word host up in the original language, that was a word that was a military word typically used to describe soldiers as they would appear in battlefields. And so I love this imagery because now here's the picture. A large group of angels appears. A bunch of angels appear. And they're there in military fashion. And they were revealed doing what they were already doing in heaven, which was praising God, saying, not singing, but saying these words, glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors. So this multitude of angels shows up and they're praising God, proclaiming both glory and peace. And that word peace, I want you to see that that's not talking about the peace that you and I know on planet Earth. It's not the absence of conflict. But the peace that they were referring to in this story was a new kind of peace that was recently discovered through the Christmas story between sinful man and holy God. This was a spiritual peace that was available now between God and man. Listen, true peace comes through Jesus. And that was the moral of the story. That word peace in the Hebrew is the word shalom. You've heard that word before. And in this verse, it literally translates to read salvation. And so when you look at it, peace comes through salvation. Salvation comes through Jesus. You get it? Know Jesus. No peace, but know Jesus and you'll know peace. That's the story of Christmas. Know Jesus, no peace, but know Jesus and you can know peace. The angels are declaring that because of Christmas, there can finally be peace on earth. Because in this moment, God has built a bridge between sinful man and holy God. Now we can know him. Now we can be in relationship with him. We can be forgiven of our sins. Now, because of Jesus, because of Christmas, everything can be different. And because the angels delivered this message and because the shepherds believed the message, what we see next is that they were emptied of their fear and they were filled with courage and they were set free to chase Jesus and to pursue him in faith. Look at verse 15. When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." I love this. Because without hesitation, without delay, the shepherds made their way to Bethlehem. They wanted to see it with their own two eyes. Verse 16 says, they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Listen, we can think about it till the cows come home. What if Christmas never happened? But you know what? It did. God did send his son to planet Earth. And when he did, and because he did, it changed everything. And he tells us as we kick off this Christmas story that because of Christmas, we, even today, don't have to be afraid. Let me tell you why. We don't have to be afraid because God is with us. That's what he says. Many times in Scripture, when God gives this command, do not fear or do not be afraid, he sort of parlays it with this reminder that says, oh, and by the way, I am with you. That's why you don't have to be afraid. Isaiah 41:10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you, right? Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. God says, do not be afraid. Let me tell you why. Because I am with you. 700 years before Jesus was born, God spoke to the prophet Isaiah and said, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call his name Emmanuel. Now, we've heard that forever. We know Emmanuel means God with us, right? He's with us. And that was written 700 years before he was born. But then you skip 700 years to Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, and 700 years later, the angel's talking to Mary face to face, and he's quoting this scripture saying, the virgin you will conceive and give birth to a son, your son, God's son, right? And they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. And so we've got this grand picture of the New Testament really beginning with God manifesting himself as Emmanuel, God with us. It was the very beginning. But then you skip to the back of the book and go all the way to the book of Revelation in chapter 22, and now you've got God representing himself as Emmanuel, God with us. So the very beginning of his life, you got Revelation, it's always Emmanuel, God with us. Do we get this today? The point he's making is that God has always been with us. He's never not been with us. He's always been with you. And that's why you don't have to be afraid today. That's why we can live in faith and not in fear. Because God is with us in the midst of the circumstance. He's with you today. That's what Christmas is about. Listen, because of Christmas, you can live without fear because God is with you today. He's with you in the good times. He's also with you in the bad times. He's with you in the elevator. He's with you when you're on the mountaintop. He's with you when you're sick. He's with you when you're healthy. He's with you when you're sad. He's with you when you're happy. And God will never not be with you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, he said these words, I will never leave you or abandon you. And for that reason, because of Christmas, we don't have to be afraid.